You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, service workers in restaurants in particular are experiencing more harassment and fewer tips during the pandemic. We'll find out why. Now, for a lot of people, 2020 has been the most difficult year they've experienced in a long time, maybe ever. We want to hear from you with your report on things that happened in your life, for better or worse, big or small. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. This year, there's the actual COVID-19 pandemic itself and all the stuff that came along with it. Shutdowns, economic uncertainty, canceled events, virtual schools, masks, social isolation, and so on, plus a long, contentious election, summer protests and violence. That list goes on. Along with the challenges, there have been opportunities for good things to happen. Maybe you've been enjoying more time with your families. Your business has done okay through all of this. You've grown thankful for what you have, or you've picked up a new skill or hobby. Now that we're just about done with 2020, we want to hear how it went for you at 800-642-1234. Overall, generally a good or bad year. What was a big thing that happened for better or worse? What did you learn? Do you feel stronger now that you made it through? Did you learn something about yourself along the way? And what is your mindset heading into 2021? What is your hope heading into 2021? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. You can always tweet us at Central Time WPR. We asked around WPR staff to share some of their milestones. Southwest Regional Manager Ezra Wall says, "I am so incredibly cognizant of what a heartbreaking year 2020 has been for so many. For me, it was the year my life changed for the better." Ezra says, "In fact, it was the best year yet. After 23 years out of state, WPR gave me the chance to take the job of my dreams and move back home to La Crosse in December of 2019. He says, "I've been living with my folks during COVID, which is a blast. My heart breaks for so many friends, family, and colleagues, but my heart is full from the blessings of 2020. And Susanna Michaels from our WPR fundraising team says, "2020 has filled me with gratitude. I'm so grateful for the many things I'm so lucky to have. Job, health, healthy food, relationship, great coworkers." And she says a group of women in her neighborhood has taken a meeting once a week outdoors, spaced apart. Highlight of her week. Susanna says, "I'm not sure that would have happened without the pandemic." How about you? Is there something that changed in your life? Somebody you'd like to remember that you lost? Maybe something good that happened, something positive that came out of the bad news. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Mike starts us off calling from Milwaukee. Mike, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about today, Mike?
Well, like I said, we had talked about other times in our life which might have been more difficult. I'm 74 years old. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and as I look back to my time in the service, it certainly was a lot more difficult than this last year was. And I'm lucky enough that I wasn't really affected. The biggest problem for me, of course, is not getting to see my children or grandchildren, which is difficult for everybody. But in the scheme of things, we've all probably gone through things that have been pretty traumatic, even more so than what the year has been for most of us. For some people, this has been a terrible year. If, of course, you got sick or you lost your job or something like that. But to keep it in perspective, things could really get a lot worse or be a lot worse. And I'm thankful for everything that I do have. And it's probably, it's not the worst year ever, but it's a year that we're all going to try and forget, that's for sure.
Mike, thank you so much for sharing that perspective. Yeah, that time in the military certainly gave you a lot of perspective. It sounds like, I hope that you do get to see your children and grandchildren and that things, work out, that we can all do that kind of thing really soon. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Aiden is with us now in Green Bay. Aiden, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to share with us, Aiden?
So I actually got out of homelessness this year. I started the year homeless, living out of my truck and whatever. And it's been a crazy year for sure. I got COVID-19 back in March, and despite all that, I have an apartment now. I have a girlfriend of, actually our anniversary is today for a year, and I have a brand new car, and I'm just incredibly grateful for everything that's happened because it's really humbled me, and I kind of needed that. And honestly, I'm really grateful despite everything that's happened. And, you know, I feel very lucky that I am in the place that I am now, but 2020 has definitely been a very difficult year, but I feel like there's definitely still hope if you look hard enough, and maybe that helps other people. I don't know, but that's what my year's been like for sure. So I'm very grateful to where I am now for sure.
Wow. Aiden, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm glad to hear that good news for you out of homelessness. And happy anniversary, I should say. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story at 800-642-1234. We are asking you to share your personal experience of 2020, something that changed in your life, maybe for better, maybe for worse. The perspectives you have on it doesn't have to be something big. Could be a little regret or a little positive development in your life, or big ones like Aiden shared with us there. Really appreciate that. The number again, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Again, we asked around Wisconsin Public Radio staff to see if they had short stories to share. They did. Shireen Stewart, Route 51 host, says this year COVID upended our lives more than anything we've ever experienced in our family. We canceled trips, canceled family gatherings, spent months away from our loved ones, and experienced significant personal losses. Shireen writes, my husband and I both had COVID. I was in the hospital. The list of struggles is long, but there were plenty of bright spots. Shireen says, my husband and I were forced to slow down, which resulted in spending more quality time together, doing things like playing cards, relaxing by the fire, boating and kayaking. We rediscovered our joy of cooking and reading. We went for long bike rides. We learned new ways to connect with our families, and through it all, we emerged somehow stronger as a couple or even as a family. Well, how about you? Do you have stories of changes this year? Good, bad, maybe a little bit of both. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Looks like some more calls are coming in. Let's share a story from Lisa Nalbanian, our Southeast Regional Manager. She says, our family has enjoyed all the extra time together and our ability to spend weeks at Wisconsin's beautiful state parks. Let's go back to your calls and stories now at 800-642-1234. We've got Karen with us in Osceola. Karen, hello.
Hello, Rob.
This Hi.
This is my second time calling into you. And I want to let you know that prior to the pandemic, I was not at all a radio listener. But because of the pandemic, I wanted to tune in and get Wisconsin news. And not only have I loved WPR for the news, but your show, and I also became a member. So thank you.
That is fantastic, Karen. Thank you so much for calling in. And I got to say, I mean, it's been a special part of my year. I always love the job that I do. But I don't know. I feel like people want to hear, have that connection and hear just the sound of another human voice talking. I'm really glad I could be there for Karen and anybody else who feels that need for connection. It's an awesome thing for me to be able to participate in. Thank you for that call, Karen, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Russ now on the line in Monroe. Russ, hi.
Hi. My wife and I have a small restaurant, a popular restaurant, and we've never closed for COVID. Our business changed to mostly carry out. We'd already done a fair amount of carry out, but it's been actually a good year for the business. We're a small percentage of restaurants that are hanging in there. We haven't had to lay off any of our staff,
wow.
And we've kind of had to respond to this whole new carryout thing, all the different things that have to be done related to that, the boxes and everything. But we've, I think, made our whole group, our whole team, just tighter, more attentive, more appreciative of all the outpouring of generosity. It's been kind of a spectacular year in that respect.
That's fantastic, Russ. And let me ask you, what's the favorite carryout item? What are people loving to take home and eat?
Well, we do smoked meats and grilled meats, and they really love the brisket and brisket sandwiches, things like that. Like brisket's a big one, plus our pulled pork is pretty popular. And we put that in burritos and sandwiches and things like that. People have been really generous.
Oh, I bet. Russ, thank you. That now I'm hungry, too. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. We are asking for your 2020 stories, things that changed in your life. Maybe something big, maybe something small, maybe good or bad, or a little bit of both. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you pick up a new hobby? figure out a new way to connect to people in your neighborhood or around the world? Is there a loss you've encountered in your life? Have you found silver linings even amidst the bad stuff? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation. Keep hearing for more of you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking back on the year 2020, taking your calls on the good, the bad, the hopes for the new year at 800-642-1234. We want to know how your year went. Is it a bad one pretty much all the way around? Can't wait for it to be over. Or did you find some bright spots despite all the COVID-related stuff? Let us know what you're grateful for, what you've learned, what you need in 2021. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go back to your calls now. Doug is with us in Madison. Doug, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Doug?
You know, it's been an interesting year. My wife was downsized in August of 19. I got downsized in January of 20, and we've managed to make ends meet. We're active in a not-for-profit organization that we managed to do $30,000 of charitable giving and with one fundraising event that could not happen this year. As an organization, we still managed to do enough fundraising that we were able to do our $30,000 of charitable giving.
Wow.
So what I've seen is the kindness of people has still come through, even though the job market is terrible.
I was going to say, and I heard that from a couple of guests from food banks yesterday, at least for part of the year, people have been wanting to be more generous. They're looking for ways to help other people out. It sounds like you are seeing that out there, Doug.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
We've reached out and said, you know, let us know how we can help you. So people are generous.
Well, Doug, thank you so much. Good luck to you and your wife. Hope you get back to full-time work as soon as you're able to. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Gina with us now in Oshkosh. Gina, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What do you want to share with us today, Gina?
I learned how to kayak. I bought a kayak and kayaked all over the state for the first time this year because of COVID.
Yeah, and that's a great social distance kind of thing. Outside, it's perfect. Now, are you on rivers, lakes, a little bit of both?
Both. Yep, both.
And how big a learning curve? I've kayaked some. I'm not very good at it. I have to stay in very safe locations. Did it take you a while to get the hang of it?
It actually really didn't. It was easier than I thought, but it was so relaxing, so peaceful. I never thought I would enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed it immensely.
Fantastic. So are you winter kayaking at all before things freeze up everywhere, or are you just looking forward to the spring?
I am looking forward to the spring, but I last kayaked, I think, November 10th. So
Okay. Went
pretty far into the fall, but no winter kayaking for me.
Fair enough, Gina. Thank you so much for calling in. She picked it up faster than I did. I think a lot of people are better at learning that kind of thing than I am, though. We are asking for things that change, new things in your life in 2020, changes for the worse, for the better, maybe a little bit of both. Could be something big or something small, maybe something you learned about yourself amidst all the everything of 2020. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go back to your calls now. Paul is with us in La Crosse. Paul, hi.
Hi. I improved on my time and money management skills.
Now, were you kind of forced to by the way things had changed, or did you set this as a goal?
Kind of as a goal, but I wasn't really sticking to it. But then COVID happened and the pandemic, and it's like, better time if any. So,
can you share a lesson with us, Paul, when it comes to time management? I always feel like I could use better time management skills.
It's really hard to say this, but multitasking. I mean, some people think you're less efficient when you multitask, but that's not true. Like, if you're doing your laundry, just do a few, like, and then soak the dishes and then vacuuming. Well, you're doing three things at once. And then,
right. You
know, have a few other things on the side at the same time. And it's not a big deal. Pretty soon you'll have a whole house, well, not house, but, you know, 2-3-bedroom apartment clean in a matter of an hour or two. So.
All right. Well, that is a fine skill, Paul, and I like that. Thanks a lot for calling in. It's, you know, multitasking. If you're trying to literally do multiple things at a time, that's a problem. But that's like parallel. You got the laundry going in the background, then you're doing this. You throw the thing to soak in the sink. I love it. That's a good time management lesson learned in 2020. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234 with something that changed in your life in 2020 for better or worse, big or small, maybe some silver linings. Or a lesson you learned. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email at ideas@wpr.org. Mara in Weston emailed us. Mara says, started off this year with my dad in the ICU for multiple weeks, but I'm finishing off the year with the purchase of my first home. 2020 has made me more grateful and empathetic, and Mara says, I am looking forward to what 2021 will bring. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Mara. Well, we asked the same questions that you can answer at 800-642-1234 around here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Could share another one or two of those. Joy Ratchkramer in the WPR Wausau Bureau answered us. Joy says, I'm really grateful that I formed a pod with my parents early on and that my toddler has been able to form strong relationships with Ama and Papa in these trying times. I wouldn't be able to work from home without them. And despite everything happening in the world, Joy says, my family is closer than ever. Joy, great story there. Now let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Henry is with us now in Wells, Michigan. Henry, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to mention how 2020 has been a great year for me. It was, I'm holding my little 11-month-old.
Wow.
That I had to raise and this fun stuff. I was fortunate enough to work, still be working, and I got extra time with them. Dads don't usually get that, and how much I appreciated that. But I also want to note that I'd give that all back to save 300,000 lives, but I feel lucky that I have them.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with celebrating that, Henry. I am very happy for you. You got a first birthday lined up for next month, right?
Not too long from now, yep.
Fantastic. Henry, thank you so much. Love hearing good stories like that, even amidst the bad stuff. 800-642-1234 is the number to call if you have a 2020 story to share. Cindy joins us next in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I'm just hoping that everyone has gained a better appreciation for essential workers and also realized that we don't need as many material things as we think we do, and also realize that we are living in a moment of history that may never repeat itself. So this is hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Me too.
So I guess you have to take some good out of the bad, because if you don't, you won't survive this.
Cindy, thanks a lot. Some good perspectives there. Thanks for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Caleb joins us next in Osseo. Caleb, hi.
Hey there, long-time listener, first-time caller.
All right.
Just want to say I appreciate all the great programming at NPR, at WPR, and wanted to say, you know, although 2020 has sure been a hit for all of us, I was lucky enough to meet the love of my life, you know, this year. So
fantastic. I got to ask, Caleb, it's been hard to meet people this year. How did you meet, if I may ask, in 2020?
Online dating, got to say. Yep, works for some, but worked for us.
That is fantastic, Caleb. Well, I'm glad you met the love of your life amidst all of this in 2020. Thank you so much for sharing that. Sarah, our technical director, shared a story with us similar. She met someone this year, too, and she is celebrating that as well with us. Again, we asked around WPR. We got a cut time for another story or two they shared. Judith Heisey, digital marketing manager, wrote a camping trip to Mirror Lake State Park, a wonderful new kitten, and having my husband not on the convention circuit for 50 plus days over the year were all the brighter spots. Of course, she says his sourdough bread baking obsession means we've all added our pandemic poundage, but in a super delicious way. Judith writes, the most selfish thing I could say about 2020 is I love curbside pickup. Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be a habit that sticks around for us for a long time. You can get used to something like that. And our producer, Central Time producer Bill Martin, says all in all, his 2020 went pretty good, stayed healthy. COVID didn't cause serious problems in his family. He and his wife stayed employed. Cat, healthy. Bill got to do some pretty serious gardening and take lots of photos. And he's started working out in the basement back in February and has stuck with it all the way here in December. Now he looks like the Incredible Hulk minus the green. I can vouch for that. Bill is just ripped these days. Well, hey, there is still time for you to keep sharing your stories with us, even though our conversation now is done. Tweet us your 2020 stories, your upsides, your downsides. We are at Central Time WPR. That's at Central Time WPR. You could still also email ideas at WPR.org and may find a moment to share a couple more stories as they come in. Again, email us ideas at WPR.org or you could tweet us at Central Time WPR. Thanks to everyone. Some great stories. Love to hear from all of you calling in or emailing today. New report shows that the coronavirus pandemic has amplified sexual harassment in the service industry. Workers say that their dependence on tips has forced them to tolerate often degrading or even dangerous requests from customers, including requests to remove their masks. The report from the advocacy group One Fair Wage found that more than 80% of workers who responded to their survey have seen a decline in tips. More than 40% say they're experiencing more sexual harassment from customers. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in the service industry, in the restaurant world in particular? How have you seen a change in the way customers interact with you? Are you feeling pressured to remove your mask? How have your tips changed? What would improve this dynamic? Are things kind of bad even when you're in a restaurant that can be open? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Saru Jayaraman is the president of One Fair Wage, an organization that advocates for higher wages for service workers. She teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Saru, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a look at wages for tipped workers. Lower, of course, than the usual minimum wage at the federal level, at state levels. Can you remind us of the idea behind why it's low?
Yeah, well, it's actually a legacy of slavery. The first tipped workers in the United States, right at emancipation, the restaurant lobby wanted to hire mostly black workers, not pay them anything, and have them live entirely on tips, which was a mutation of the original concept of tipping. Tipping originated in Europe as an extra or a bonus on top of a wage. But when it came to the States, as the restaurant industry wanted to hire black workers at emancipation, they mutated the idea of tipping from being an extra or bonus to being a replacement for wages. So we started with a $0 wage for newly freed slaves at emancipation, and that went all the way up to $2.13 an hour, which is the current federal minimum wage for tipped workers, and is also the wage in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin is one of 43 states that allows tipped workers to be paid a sub-minimum wage as a result of this legacy of slavery. And today, 70% of tipped workers are women in Wisconsin and nationally, largely working in casual restaurants, not making enough in tips, really struggling, and also suffering from the highest rates of sexual harassment of any industry in the U.S. But there are seven states that do it differently. California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Minnesota, Montana, and Alaska all require a full minimum wage with tips on top of that. And those states actually have higher rates of tipping than Wisconsin. They also have higher job growth in the restaurant industry, higher small business growth in the restaurant industry, and one half the rate of sexual harassment in the restaurant industry, because it turns out when a woman doesn't have to accept everything from customers because the tips are an extra or a bonus, not the wage itself, she can reject harassment from customers. And that's what happens in, you know, not too far state of Minnesota to Wisconsin. They require full minimum wage with tips on top, and you've got half the rate of sexual harassment.
And before we get into the results of the survey you did of many restaurant workers, Saru, let's amplify that point a little bit, because these restaurant workers, servers in particular, are so dependent on tips to make up the bulk of their wage in many cases, bartenders as well, you talked to in the survey. That leaves them in many ways vulnerable to harassment by customers or in some cases managers. Can you talk about that a little more?
Sure. Even before the pandemic, what we found was that workers in our industry, when they earn a sub-minimum wage, have to tolerate all kinds of inappropriate customer behavior to feed their families and tips, because the wage is so low, it goes entirely to taxes. You know, when you get a wage of $2.33 in Wisconsin, it's so low it goes to taxes. You live mostly, almost entirely on your tips. And so you have to put up with whatever a customer says or does. The customer's always right. They're paying your bills, not your employer. And so we found that when workers are paid a full minimum wage, they don't have to rely as much on customers. They can reject the harassment from customers because they can count on a wage from their boss, like every other worker in every other industry. They get tips. Workers in Minnesota and California and Oregon and Washington, they get tips. They get actually more tips than they do in Wisconsin, but they're not as reliant entirely on the tips to feed their families. So there really is a power dynamic between servers and customers that exists when the wage is so low. There's a power dynamic that allows the customers to get away with doing all kinds of things, and the workers feel compelled to put up with it. We also found from the research prior to the pandemic that managers actually encourage women dress more sexy, show more cleavage, wear tighter clothing in order to make more money in tips. And we found that workers in states like Wisconsin that have a really low subminimum wage, managers told them to engage in that kind of behavior at three times the rate as managers in states with a full minimum wage. Because again, when you are entirely dependent on tips, you're just more vulnerable, as you said, to everything that the customer does, but also to whatever your manager tells you is going to be the way to get those tips, because tips are your only source of income.
Talking to Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage. The organization did a survey of restaurant workers to find how behavior had changed in restaurants during the pandemic, found many of them getting lower tips and more harassment. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Waukesha. John, hi.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. My wife works at a restaurant that has actually done pretty well during the pandemic. They do lots of takeout. However, the owners are fairly vocal about not supporting mask mandates, just thinking it's kind of silly. But of course, some of the staff does, including my wife. However, what this has led to is her getting quite a bit of harassment from people who are opposed to masks, from straight out just asking her to take it off. And a common thing that happens repeatedly is people pretending they can't hear what she's saying when she has a mask on. What? I can't understand you. And it's really tough, because I guess it's one thing if you don't necessarily agree with it for your family, but to harass your people who are taking risks every day because of virtue signaling, I feel is very stressful and unfair. I'll take my comments off here.
John, thanks for that story. And Saru, reading responses from the people in your survey, John's wife not alone in being harassed one way or another because of mask wearing.
That's absolutely right. Sadly, we saw a massive spike in hostility among customers and in particular among sexual harassment. So sadly, almost half of the workers surveyed said they knew somebody in the restaurant who had at least one person who had gotten sick from the virus, and that a majority of workers said their tips were down 50 to 75%, and that they couldn't enforce social distancing and mask rules because they relied on tips from the same customers on whom were expecting them to enforce these rules. But worst of all, 40% of workers said that sexual harassment had gone way up during the pandemic, and hundreds of women submitted comments from male customers basically telling them to take their masks off so that they could judge their looks and therefore their tips on that basis. It was so common. We heard it so often, we ended up creating a term for it. We're calling it maskual harassment. It's basically women being asked to remove their protective gear, to remove their masks, which is life-threatening, in order to allow the men to judge their looks and therefore their tips on that basis. And it's really made this issue of a subminimum wage and reliance on tips move from an issue of economic injustice and economic instability and gender and race injustice to become now an issue of life or death.
Thanks for sharing that story. We'll go to Scott now in Luxembourg. Scott, hi.
Hi there. Actually, a confession to make, because I was a person who asked a waitress to remove her mask. I worked in the service industry, but I have to say that when I did do it, I acknowledged that I should not have done it now, but it had nothing to do with her tip. I had already written a tip out. It tipped her very well because she did such an exceptional job. And we were just leaving, and I just wanted to see that person just because they're wearing the mask and I couldn't see the person. But it had nothing to do with harassment. Like I said, the check had already been written out. I always tip at least 20 to 25% because I know it's tough right now. I do acknowledge that was not the right thing for me to do. But at that point, I was completely oblivious to the fact. Had nothing to do with sexual harassment, but I do acknowledge the fact that it was a unsafe thing to do, and I have not done that since. But I just wanted to more or less comment on that the tip, through my request to her to remove her mask, had nothing to do with sexual harassment.
Scott, thanks a lot for the call. Scott saying I think he wanted to see the person, which, you know, I do miss when we're all out in masks. Scott says he hasn't done it again, though. I don't know. What are your thoughts for restaurant patrons, even if, as Scott says, he was thought he innocently just wanted to see the face of the person who had been working for him at the restaurant?
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't think anybody is denigrating anybody in this situation. I mean, I don't think men should be sexually harassing women. I don't think that's what your caller did. But in general, I think what we're pointing to is not the fault of any individual. It's the fault of a system. When the state allows restaurant workers to be paid as little as $2 and have to rely entirely on customers, whether the customer is innocent and well-intentioned or not, the worker feels completely compelled to do whatever the customer says because, again, the employer is not paying their wage as they should be. The customer is paying all of the workers' bills. And so I completely understand the desire to see one another. Right now, we're all feeling super isolated, but it's so important to understand the lack of power that these workers have on the job, that they're being asked to do more for less. They're being asked to now become public health marshals and put up with hostility from customers, as your first caller mentioned, all for far less in tips. And so having sympathy and wanting to sympathize and connect and support workers means not asking them to remove their mask, which is the only thing that protects them from getting the virus. And it does mean, yes, tipping them well, but ultimately it means calling for state legislators and federal and Congress to get rid of this subminimum wage for workers and make sure that employers are paying their workers a full minimum wage so that a woman feels empowered to say, thank you so much, I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't want to take off my mask because I don't want to risk either, you know, my own health or anybody else's health by doing so.
We're talking to Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage, talking about a decrease in tips and an increase in harassment that service workers are reporting during the pandemic, including in a survey by our guest organization. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work at a restaurant where there is some sort of indoor, or I guess outdoor seating that's been going on over the course of the year, have you seen this, a tougher time for tips? More harassment? Was this a problem even before the pandemic? And what do you think of the idea of changing that whole minimum wage structure, not counting on just tips to bring restaurant workers' wages up to the minimum that other industries have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage, an organization that advocates for higher wages for service workers, talking to her about harassment and reduced tips that restaurant workers are seeing during the pandemic. The group did a survey of many restaurant workers, found lower tips, more harassment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work at a restaurant, are you still able to go to work? And what have things been like when you go to work? And what do you think of the idea that our guest is calling for to stop the reliance on tips so much for restaurant workers, not to get rid of them completely, but to bring that sub-minimum wage up to the minimum and maybe change the balance of power a little bit at the restaurant. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We've got Ryan with us in La Crosse now. Ryan, hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I think this is a really important subject. I'm glad that Minnesota has taken the step forward, and I think we need to do it in Wisconsin. One thing I think you might be seeing is the type of people that are showing up to restaurants now are not the people like me who've worked in the restaurant industry, maybe treat them better, and are not showing up because I care about my fellow human beings and I'm getting order out, where people who might be on the other spectrum of the political side, maybe more of the MAGA side or the anti-mask people, are the people who are coming out, and that might be the demographic you're seeing more of.
Ryan, thanks for the call. And sorry, that reminds me also a story where at least some of the people you surveyed said they get the feeling that when people are going out, they're really cutting loose and behaving maybe in ways they haven't, wouldn't have in the past, because it's, you know, a relief to be out. And I don't know, the normal rules don't seem to apply.
Yeah, I think your caller hit it so right on the head, which is you're seeing two things change during the pandemic. One, because tips are down, workers are more reliant on every customer, meaning the power dynamic between every customer that walks in the door and the server is exacerbated. And so she feels like she has to do anything that customer says, because that's one of her few sources of tips for the day, because the customer base is so declined. But exactly as your caller just said, we've also seen a change in the nature of customers, where maybe customers who are more concerned about social distancing and mask rules and COVID in general are staying home. So a lot of the regulars at restaurants are not there. And a new clientele or a different clientele that is not as concerned about COVID or social distancing and or masks, certainly not as concerned once they've started drinking, they are a lot more aggressive. And workers reported, a vast majority of workers reported not just an increase in harassment, but a pretty severe increase in hostility from customers in general. I mean, keep in mind, again, these workers are being asked to do more for less, less tips. And now on top of being a bartender or a server, they're moving tables, they're setting up outdoor dining spaces, and they're being asked to be public health marshals. Look, the CDC reported in September that adults are twice as likely to get COVID eating in a restaurant. Imagine working in a restaurant. It is a high risk situation. And these workers, we rely on them as essential service workers to enforce social distancing and mask rules in this very high-risk situation. But they can't do it if they have to get tips from the very same customers from whom we are asking them to enforce these rules. It's a total, honestly, like, impossible situation, more for less, and with customers that are a lot more aggressive.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Heather now in Madison. Heather, hello.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call. Just kind of wanted to echo a little bit what your guest just said, which is wait staff is required to do sometimes an hour or two of what's called side work, which is cleaning bathrooms, setting up and folding napkins and all this stuff for $2 an hour, you know, and they're doing all of this work basically unpaid. And so I could not emphasize enough the need to get on board with a minimum wage that's livable.
Heather, thanks for telling us about that. So that's, sorry, that's the norm. There might be an hour or even 2 hours of that sub-minimum wage work where obviously you're not getting tips because you're not doing work with customers?
That's right. And I don't think most of your callers know, I have some news to report. Just today, the Trump administration announced a last-minute rule change, attempted rule change by the U.S. Department of Labor, making it legal for restaurants to pay workers $2 an hour, even when they are not doing tip-related work, cleaning bathrooms, stocking shelves, moving tables. So what your caller just described is actually not what's supposed to happen. If you're not getting tips, if you're not interacting with customers, you're supposed to be paid a full minimum wage. And I encourage your caller to get in touch with us, because that's actually a legal violation. But today, the Trump administration is attempting to make that legal, allowing restaurants to go ahead and pay everybody the sub-minimum wage, even if they are not doing tip-related work. Until today, there was a rule called the 80-20 rule, put in place over many, many years of various administrations, Republican and Democratic, that said that if you're getting a sub minimum wage of $2 or $3 or $4, whatever it is in your state, you have to spend at least 80% of the time interacting with customers to get the tips that will bring you to the full minimum wage or beyond. Well, today, Trump, in a last minute move to support his peers and cronies in the National Restaurant Association, which represents the chains, is attempting to move this rule before he leaves office that would allow restaurant companies to go ahead and pay everybody a sub-minimum wage, even if they're not doing tip-related work. It's horrible. And we are planning to sue and stop this rule and work hopefully with the new administration to immediately reverse it. But it just, again, proves the point. What we need to do is just get rid of this sub-minimum wage altogether. Everybody should be paid a full minimum wage with tips on top. Because as long as there is a sub-minimum wage, companies are going to try to continue to push to be able to pay everybody that sub-minimum wage. More and more companies are going to want to do this. We're already seeing DoorDash and Instacart try to copy this by cutting their delivery workers' payments based on how much we tip them. That is outrageous, but frankly, it's already what's been happening in the restaurant industry for 150 years. So let's make sure everybody gets paid a minimum wage and that when we tip, it's on top of the wage, not instead of the wage.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Saru, people might wonder, well, will this hurt restaurants? Will this make it harder for restaurants to stay afloat if we change the wage structure?
You know, I live in California, and California has had the largest and fastest growing restaurant industry in the United States of America for 50 years. We have seen our wages go up. And as they've gone up, we've seen restaurant workers be able to spend in their own industry. And anybody on this call who has ever worked in the industry knows restaurant workers spend in their own industry more than other people, and they tip better than other people. So what happens when you pay restaurant workers more? Restaurants do better. Tipping goes up. The overall economy does better because we're one of the largest workforces in America and in Wisconsin. So what we've seen in the states that have enacted this is that as wages go up, actually the economy does better, the restaurants do better over time. And frankly, you know, if all boats rise together, in other words, if this is the state law or the federal law, all boats rise together, everybody's wages go up at the same time, then you see growth rather than any kind of loss.
Saru, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Saru Jayaraman is the president of One Fair Wage. She teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. She recently conducted a survey looking at the experience of tipped restaurant workers during the pandemic.